Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
I'm not here to talk about B.B. King, although it's such a loss that we lost such a great man. But, you know, the thrill is gone, and you're going to pay for it someday. This message is going out to you, legislators in the great state of California. The Day of Reckoning, of course, is voting when it comes up next year for the House in California legislature and the Senate. Let's tell you what's going on in the great state here. California senators are investigating the recent surge in gas prices. Gee, imagine that. They are investigating and they are putting pressure on the oil industry executive. Senators Jim Beal of San Jose and Ben Wesso of San Diego demanded in a letter last week that companies provide information about their operations, their outages, why they're having any of those when the gas is going up, and their price spikes. We all understand that. They were lining in their pockets. The inquiry to the chiefs of seven companies follows a March legislative hearing after a pair of refineries in Torrance and Martinez went offline due to an explosion and to a labor dispute. Now, every time any small mom-and-pop oil refinery, no matter where it goes, offline, we get a huge spike. And they all say, well, they give us so much oil. We need lean on them so much that the prices just have to go up. We can't keep up with the demand. That's a bunch of malarkey. Since the March hearing, the average cost of gas went up 62 cents in California, 310 to 372 as of last Friday. Now, a billionaire environmentalist, this is really an oxymoron here, Tom Steyer, suggested to Democrats in the Senate that Californians are being charged about $1 billion more a month than the national average. They're getting gouged. Now, wait a minute, aren't you the same guys who put the pressure on the EPA and everybody not to allow more drilling, fracking, anything else in this great state? How can you live with yourselves out there? I don't understand. I'll never understand what's going on in the legislature. It's difficult for an average guy like me. I will just vent and tell you what's going on out there. So what's going on is wow, we can't drill. We got to have our prices go up. They were down there for a little while, but now they've come back up. We have one little explosion here, a labor dispute there. It's just crazy. I'll never be able to understand what's going on with the oil refineries and the oil business. It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week, mourning the passing of a true legend in B.B. King. Amen. But, the legislature, they still move on and they still gouge us. And they try to say these things and make them look better, and the blame is not on them. But they're the ones, along with the governor, who are not allowing CEQA and things like that to be a lot easier to get and to build and to do things to help this great state. They're the ones that do that. They deflect. They dodge. It is crazy. It is our favorite day of the week. And with me, as always, on my right, my good friend, Andrew Wellborn. Andrew, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, feeling me a little bit of the late, great, you know, blues player, Mr. B.B. King. I tell you what, sad day in music history this week, and acknowledging the passing of such a great musician, and wishing the best to his family. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, and, of course, we are where America's voice is heard. And, you know, Tim, you forgot one little thing.
Man,
on the great, great entry. Yeah, you know, when it comes to the oil prices and the gas prices, we forget about that huge, huge tax we just put on ourselves in the name of environmental protection. You know, once again, we see members of the California State Legislature trying to spin it off, trying to play blame over here. But the bigger issue now is the socialist movement within that California legislature demanding that oil companies, private companies, open up their books, open up their methods of operations. And you know, to me, it's almost absurd as a Californian out here, as a Texan living in California, understanding the oil markets and oil prices, to realize that, hey, wait a minute, Californians, wake up to this bamboozle that's going on down in that California state legislature. The reason you're paying more for gas today is because you, California, allowed these members of the legislature to put these taxes onto a price per 1 gallon of gas.
You know, we're going to get more into it maybe in the bottom half of the show, but the cap and trade, what you're talking about, and they all knew what was coming. They did have a break-off in the newest members of the legislature in the San Francisco Bay Area, the heart of liberalism here in California, that they wanted to hold up on that and those things right there. And so we're seeing the cost and the prices going up right now in this great state. It fluctuates like that all the time, but we had it good for a moment. We never get it really good for very long, but then it tends to go back up in price once again.
Once again, it's a price of voters not coming out.
Exactly.
Or voters not reading the fine print. The reason you're paying more, folks, is because you put it on yourself. And, of course, I want to take a minute here before we get in the bottom part of the show. One of the things that we like to do here on the 503 Report from time to time is put a spotlight on some of our local community events up here in Northeastern California, where we broadcast out of. And so with us in studio today is good friends of ours, Mr. Dan James and Mr. Charles Halls. How you guys doing today? What we got going on?
Doing real good, Andrew. Thank you.
Yeah, we're doing good. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, guys.
Tell us a little about what you got going on up in Eagle Lake, my friend.
Well, about 3 years ago, we formed a neighborhood watch group, and we presently have about 83 people in that group. And one of the ways that we fund our group is to do a craft fair every year on Memorial Day weekend, which this year we're going to have on May 23rd from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And we're here to talk about that to help facilitate it.
Now, where is that going to be held at up there in the Eagle Lake area? Is it Spalding, up the fire department? Where is it going to be held at?
It'll be in Spalding at the community building right there next to the fire department itself.
Now, are you folks still looking for donations for that? And if so, how could somebody make a donation to that?
Well, they can come up and participate in the craft fair.
Absolutely.
Right? They can, if they're crafters themselves, they can rent a table. We only charge $10 for a table.
Very reasonable.
Very much so. And, of course, they can make donations direct, but we're also doing it for the Veterans Guest House in Reno.
Oh, the proceeds are going for that?
Not all of them.
Part of them, yes.
We're going to go ahead and try and collect some money for them at the same time. It's the first year we've tried that, so we're kind of experimenting.
Now, the Veterans Guest House in Reno, can you maybe explain a little bit about that? What is that?
Well, the guest house is a facility that's provided for the veterans and or their family members when they go to have some medical treatment.
Sure.
And it's 100% financed 100% by private donation. So we caught wind of that, and we thought it would be kind of nice to set up donations at the craft fair for that. We as a group can go ahead and contribute to that. And the local chapter at the American Legion, 162, they're going to participate along with us in that as well.
You know, Andrew, you don't hear enough about things like that. We have the Blue Star, the moms here, the Soaring Eagle Blue Star moms who just got back from an honor flight. We just don't hear enough about what things are going on like that, where we can help out and donate to veterans or to a community watch program. And it's always great, like you said, to put the spotlight on things we have going on in our community right here.
I have to tell you, here on the 503 Report, I mean, $10 for a booth, good Lord, I mean, that's a bargain. I mean, can you imagine seeing $10 for a booth down down in Southern California or in the Bay Area, I tell you what, you know, I hope everybody out there listening will take a few minutes to come up to Eagle Lake, the community of Spalding, and hang out with these guys, and hopefully we can, you know, fund a great operation called the Community Watch and any other veteran program that is going on up there.
I was going to ask you about that because I can see that you're wearing your Vietnam veteran hat, and thank you very much for your service.
Absolutely.
But up there in a great area of Eagle Lake, the folks don't know it, that is probably one of the most the premier fishing lakes, or it used to be, in the great state of California when we had plenty of water up there. But you, I would not think, and I've been a resident up here 30-plus years, about crime up there, and to have a neighborhood watch program come into effect is kind of a little scary. The times are kind of a change, and I'm assuming there was a need for this. That's why you started this.
Well, the local deputy up there medically retired about 3 years ago or so. And that introduced possibilities, and members in the community felt as though, you know, if we hold together as a strong community, then what we can do is prevent problems. And I think rather than that the Neighborhood Watch represents that there are crime issues, it actually represents that there is not, because the community itself or the members of have made a decision, they've made their presence known, and out of that, we do not have the problems up there that we may expect or see in other places because we made that decision.
Outstanding. And Charles, did you get right on board on this when you first heard about it, or are you coming in a little bit later? Or is this something that you've wanted to do in the past?
Well, Dan got me involved in this.
Right.
Okay? one thing I wanted to say, though, about Spalding Eagle Lake, it's a big community. There's probably about 1,000 parcels up there, you know, in one tight-knit community. But there's very few people that are there, especially in the wintertime. So every house that's occupied, really, might have 5 houses on each side of it. Nobody's there. So for crime, it's kind of like easy for some people to come in and do something.
Especially in times where we don't have the snow, where Eagle Lake was mainly not really inaccessible, but much more difficult to get through in the past few years. Of course, we all know here it's been pretty much nothing up there. And you were telling me before we went on the air that you did get a little bit of snow up there the other day.
Yeah, a little bit. But you know that snow in 92, 93,
yep.
That big storm? Well, you know, Eagle Lake has 3 county roads that are plowed. The other 72 roads in Spalding Tract are not plowed. So when we have snow, we rely on each other, really, the people that have the plows on their trucks and like that, to help each other out, to get out sometimes.
Man, it's great. I love putting spotlights on groups and organizations, Andrew.
Well, an example of self-reliance rather than a self-imposed taxation for the purpose of relying on government.
You know, we do that here in Northeastern California a lot. We love sharing on what's going on with us here in Northeastern California.
Okay, California, something that you may or may not know. On this date, May 15th in 1911, the United States Supreme Court dissolves under the Sherman Antitrust Act. Ready? Standard Oil. In 1915, AT&T becomes the first corporation to have a whopping 1 million stockholders. Boy, what a difference that's made over the last century. And, of course, in 1917, the first officers' training camp is opened in the United States as the country prepares for war.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday right after the news about 12:15 on 1240 KSUE and live streaming on the World Wide Web at sierradailynews.com. And you can grab us there, and you can check us out at the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, for the podcast as well. Back with the half-hour show.
Desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. Our favorite day of the week, Friday, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And the California state legislatures and senators finally waking up to higher gas prices. Imagine that. Folks, if we can only go out there and drill and get some of that oil that we have here in California, we wouldn't have to import. We wouldn't have to be gouged like we are. We'll be talking about those and many other things coming up here on the Half Hour 503 Report. And with me, as always, my good friend to my right, Andrew Welborn. How you doing, Andrew?
We're watching those senators down there in California, Sacramento's legislature scramble more than anything as a result of some of their policies and some of their decisions and some of the misleading of the California voters when it comes to imposing an increase on a price per 1 gallon of gas out here on the West Coast. And I have to tell you, lots happening out here in California. The May revision is in, and we'll get into that. Boy, are they trying to make that complicated. But before we get to that, we're going to put our spotlight on a local community event up here in Northeastern California. Hello, folks. Andrew Welborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are where America's voice is heard.
And with us here, we have from the Spalding Eagle Lake area, we have Charles and Dan here, and they are getting together, and they are having a craft fair coming up next weekend. And the money is going for a veterans home and to help out the vets and their families over in Reno. Part of the proceeds are for that. I'm sure the rest are going to be up there for the Spalding area. But you're getting a neighborhood watch program. What is it, Kurt? What is do you need to have? Do you need volunteers for that? Are you guys putting that out? Hey, if you'd like to help us out, you know, give it, call us. How does that work?
We can always use more membership.
Sure.
The we got our sponsorship from the sheriff's office about 3 years ago, okay, for the program. And primarily the craft fair is to help fund our operation through the year. Some people may ask, what do you do with the money? Which is a logical question.
Sure.
Our group, what we like to do sometimes is we've expanded. We do our signs. We have our own radios that we buy. We buy cameras so that we can do surveillance, sure, on places. Just like in February when we had that storm, one of the things we do is the computer stuff and telephones to let folks know if they've had any damage to their property. And, in fact, we even send them pictures maybe of what that damage is. But the craft fair helps us fund that, and people can always contact us directly if they want to become members.
It's nice to hear that they're going out there. You know, I'm sure if they wanted to, they could go and ask the county for some money, but they're doing a lot of this on their own, Andrew, and that is just great to hear that spirit. The community as one, we're only as good as maybe our weakest link. They get together to help each other out. Really what America's all about, too.
Well, I have to tell you, I think the Hillary Clinton Foundation could take a page out of these guys' book as far as explaining exactly where the dollars are going. I tell you, it's good to hear exactly, you know, what these efforts are going to. And so if an individual comes up, and huge Memorial Day weekend is a huge event up here in Northeastern California. Spalding is a community located at Eagle Lake. We know that that is the opening day for fishing up here on that lake. And I have to tell you, man, I hope individuals up and down California, especially our local listeners who are up there, take a few minutes and come down and see you guys and maybe make a visit at one of your booths.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, you're right. That's opening day for fishing, and that's why we're having it on that Saturday, on the 23rd. We're having it from 10 to 3 at the Spalding Community Hall, and we have all kinds of things that we anticipate coming. I don't know everything that they're going to have on their tables, but they're going to have handmade aprons, jewelry, food, baked goods, quilters' items, pictures, and a lot more. And now, wood products, yes.
Now, if they want to get a hold of you guys and help out, or how can they do that? How can they get a hold of you guys?
Okay. Actually, right now, I'm the one that's kind of organizing the tables, and I'll give you my number.
Go ahead.
It's 825-3256. So any of you crafters out there, if you have something that you'd like to come up and share and sell, come ahead, just give me a call, and we'll make room for you. The other thing that's happening there, too, is we also have corn dogs and burritos for a dollar.
Wow.
Except they're free to veterans.
That's right.
So, and also we have free coffee and we have free water. So we're going to have a lot of stuff going on. We have great banners and flags, and it's going to be a gala affair. So come on up and go fishing, and come on over later and have a good time looking at all of these things for sale, and enjoy eating and talking with everybody.
Well, you know, we can't thank you guys enough. And please, from all of us here at the 503 Report and Sierra Broadcasting, tell all the veterans who are up there when you see them, thank you very much for what they do, what they have done, and what they continue to do. Guys, thank you so much for coming in the studio and sharing what you guys have going on in beautiful Spalding. Thank you, Charles and Dan.
We thank you guys very much.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. And, you know, Andrew, that just makes your heart swell with pride what you hear about. It's our small little area right here. And, boy, the guys in Sacramento and San Francisco and L.A. can take a page right out of the book here in beautiful Lawson County.
An example of self-reliance rather than reliance on government, as we said on the first part of the show. And I have to tell you, unfortunately, now we have to get to some nitty-gritty and some other issues that are happening in California. Sure. The big deal right now, guys, is we know the May revision has come out, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, has it not come out? Have they not rolled it out exactly the way that we said that they would? You know, we're flushing revenue, big record revenues and all this stuff, but the question is where's all the revenue going to? And I have to tell you, you know, we got all of the state senates from the Republican side to the Democratic side. Everybody is in unison right now. Everybody's unified as far as how great this new budget proposal is out here in California. Now, I don't know about you guys and everybody in the studio, but in our listening audience, that's a red flag for me whenever I start to see everybody unified, because I want to see what the problem is versus what they're saying is so great. And obviously right now it does seem like that, the UC University system.
Man,
out here
I was hoping
California.
You were going to go there. I was hoping you were going there.
Oh my Lord, has anybody seen exactly what type of money pit that system has turned into for the taxpayers out here in California?
Well, you know, Andrew, they were talking about, we can get into it. It's a 3-year payout to the UCs out there of $400+ million to help pay down pension obligations is what they're talking about, and freezing the cost for tuitions and things. So they, you know, they went and they fought with the legislature and the governor on this. The governor was really adamant about not having the prices go up. But to help a organization pay down their pension obligations without what we talk about here, how can you have more money go into to help those pensions? How can you do that instead of taking away? Where's that money going to come from, that $435 million, Andrew?
Look, we're talking about the UC system only. It's over
correct.
$7 billion in unfunded liabilities. Over $1 billion a year is paid into it from their operating budget. It represents 5% of that operating budget. This is just one group of state employees. Pension issues are going to begin to rise, especially as individuals begin to see that the $3 billion, and I've got an issue and I'll talk about that a little bit on this next segment, $3 billion are being set in reserves for the purpose of paying down debt and future payments. And so of that $3 billion, that $400 million you're talking about is what they are earmarking out of that $3 billion reserve. And I have to tell you, California, I just don't know if that was exactly what we passed Proposition 30 for.
You're absolutely correct, Andrew. And when you say that it's difficult read, that is amazing, because I know you live for watching the grass grow and to read revised budgets and things like that. So I'm assuming it's maybe a little bit more in-depth, a little bit more going on than in the past couple of years.
No, it's hidden. It's very generalized for the most
part. Page 1,436
is where it's at. But the forefront where everybody reads immediately, it creates a different picture. But when you get into the numbers, once again, I still hold by my position. I don't think the numbers are going to add up in its totality as the budget year goes. I mean, we're increasing it up to $115 billion in spending out here in California. Think about that, folks. That's your tax dollars. And right now, the governor is proposing in the legislature with this revised budget, almost $400 million in tax credits and breaks for what they deem to be the poor.
How is that going to play out with everybody coming? Governor Brown has been setting on his laurels, he has been setting back, but he is coming forward the last month or so, and he's trying to champion those liberal ideas, and you just said it right there, the poor, more money for schools. We've already got those things in place. How about better quality of schools.
Well, look, California Superintendent of Public Schools, now let's get into the K-12, made the announcement this week that, you know, graduation rates in California were just over 80%. And it was up to a whopping 80.8. You know, I don't know where you guys come from, California, everybody in the studio. That's a B-minus barely.
Yes.
I mean, we're not even at a C average. And that's a very important point. When we get to the bottom part of the show, I'm going to show how that translates into, you know, tuition costs and enrollment that the UC system is beginning to implement. And I have to tell you, folks, bottom line is this. The questions are always going to be, are we getting what we are paying for every time we impose a tax on anything or anyone out here in California?
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Want to join the conversation? 257-TALK, out of the area, 1-866-882-1277.
The Susanville Men's Hardball League is looking for players and teams for the Men's League. They will be starting to play at the end of July, and Lassen and Plumas County players are most welcome. They will play at Memorial Park. This will be family fun. For more information, call Trey Allison, 619-838-6632. That's 619-838-6632. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station. You're invited to join Banner Lassen Medical Center for their surgery department community open house, Thursday, May 14th from 4 till 6. They'll have door prizes, refreshments, gifts, tours, and the opportunity to meet with surgeons and surgical staff members. That's Thursday, May 14th from 4 to 6 at Banner Lassen Medical Center, 1800 Spring Ridge Drive in Susanville. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station. The UC Cooperative Extension Office in Quincy is hosting a workshop on integrated pest management Friday, May 15th. It's free to the public and will offer practical and proven solutions for dealing with common pests in our area, including everything from gophers to mountain lions. The workshop will be from 12:30 to 4:30 at the Mineral Building at the Plumas Sierra County Fairgrounds. For questions, call 283-6572. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Here's some more stuff out there, California, that you may or may not know. Well, May 15th, 1955, the United States performed a nuclear test at Nevada test site. Wow. 1960, ready? Taxes in the United States took a whopping 25% of earnings in the United States. And of course, 1972, an assassination attempt on Governor George Wallace in Alabama was made. And last but not least, 1988, you ready? The USSR, the Soviet Union, you know, I still call them the Soviet Union. They begin withdrawing its 115,000 troops from Afghanistan. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And I have to tell you guys, that California State Legislature is really, really pulling the wool over the eyes of you, our listeners, up and down California. And it's time for us to really, really start focusing on what they are doing. Proposition 30, as we know, was intended to solve these budget crises. We had all these budget crises. You know, we extended the budget from $100 billion under California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger all the way up to $110 billion under California Governor Jerry Brown. And then he came out with a whopping $113 billion on this last budget proposal. And now the May review. Vision is a whopping $115 billion, and they want to put $3 billion as mandated by the voters. Thank goodness the voters woke up to that one. They want to mandate $3 billion of it into a reserve fund, a rainy day fund, and a fund set up to pay off California's enormous bond debt, almost $7 billion in bond debt payments. Bond debt payments, folks. That's not the total amount that bonds that are owed. The $7 billion a year that we are paying on bonds based on how we have, you know, basically bondaged ourselves within the requirements of Wall Street.
You know, Andrew, you talked about a few moments ago, and you want the $430 million that are going toward pension funds for the UC negotiated with the governor and the legislature, and you mentioned that was just one of the many state public unions out there. There are many others, SEIU and the like, the correctional peace officers, and more and more and more. And do you foresee anything similar happening in other unions as they negotiate with the state?
Oh, man, the unions are going to come out in force right now, I have to tell you. They're going to look at that $6 billion increase, that $4 billion quote-unquote surplus, that $3 billion mandate. I mean, it's just all about billions of dollars in supposed surpluses. And I have to tell you, unions, fellow state employees, government employees up and down California, you need to relax on this. I mean, CalPERS came out, like we've been saying, and they want to do a 9% increase on all government agencies. And I have to tell you, you know, that $4.5 billion that the state governments, from the municipals to the counties, all the way up to the state of California, that $4.5 billion paid annually into the California public employee retirement system is going to start becoming a target, I think, over the next year to 2 years. Right now, it's beginning to surface. It's beginning to bubble. But most importantly, I have to tell you, you know, the University of California college system, the UC system right now, it's just amazing what they are looking to do. And it's amazing when you hear the press releases on this May revision, when you've got Senator Leno out of San Francisco praising the governor for putting $400 million into basically subsidizing the construction of new homes for low-income families within the Bay Area out of the cap-and-trade special fund. I just don't think that Californians passed cap-and-trade to give $400 million in subsidies to the Bay Area to construct affordable housing.
You know, the governor in his debate with Neel Kashkari talked about that, and he talked about the cap and trade, what the money was going to go for, and not once in there did I hear $400 million going for a special interest in San Francisco. I heard it going for his high-speed rail, electric vehicles. He wanted to reduce emissions by 40%. I heard all of that, Andrew, loud and clear. We have that recorded. We can play that at some time, but I never heard $400 million going for the San Francisco Bay Area for homes for the poor.
All right, look, I'm going to be quick here. I'm going to try to give the Cliff Note version of some of the big points, probably one of the larger points. You know, we see this week where the University of California, Berkeley, right now, their enrollment's down. And so basically they're claiming that they need to reach out to out-of-state students to come in, and they rely on the out-of-state tuition, the extra charges, $23,000 that an out-of-state student pays to go to UC Berkeley as being, you know, part of their funding. And so when you look at the report of California Superintendent of School Tom Torlakson in the entirety, when it comes out saying that California's graduation rate is 80%, the question is, out of that 80% of graduation rate K through 12 California, how many of those students are prepared to be able to qualify to get into UC Berkeley? Is that a result of UC Berkeley's enrollment being down? Therefore, they're reaching out to out-of-state tuition for that higher cost. But is that higher cost in direct relation to the pension obligations that are mandated through UC Berkeley, through the UC system? And so when you see the deals that are being made, and you're seeing that the cap on in-state tuition through this revised budget planning, and that the state of California is going to make increases into the UC system to be able to offset the pension obligations, which is part of it, no matter how you look at it. It is part of it, just like K through 12 with Proposition 98. It is part of it. It is a huge part of the cost of this funding. And so the May revision is doing everything, in my opinion, to cloud that and to be able to cover that, to cloak that so that nobody sees that. And so how they are writing it is not at a level that is going to explain it to the average, everyday Californian voter.
You know, Andrew, I'm glad you brought those things up, but it is amazing. We a couple of things. Education, we know in California, is at the bottom or near the bottom, K through 12 in the United States. So therefore, when you say we're graduating 80%, about a B minus or so. So of those, you have to have the higher percentages go on to your UCs, your higher education, your learning facilities. So that pool is dropping. So the prices for the Californians is probably going to go up, in-state tuition, as well as the out of the international and the out of state. and they are still applying for grants so they could be subsidized as well, that we're going to be giving them more money to make it more affordable, but yet we're paying it two, three times. It just boggles the mind, Andrew.
Well, they want to attack that. They don't want to allow that financial aid to go to out-of-state U.S. citizens because, wait a minute, that opened that up.
Yeah.
Maybe for the non-U.S. citizens, the DREAM Act, so that, you know, non-U.S. citizens can receive that subsidy. I get that. I understand the politics. I get that. I don't think that that's being portrayed so that Californians understand that. But the UC system is looking to increase, right? This is huge, 8% annually, the way I read it.
Yes.
They're going to increase tuition 8% annually on out-of-state students coming into the state of California. Now, come on. I mean, what type of incentive does anybody have to send their kids out here to California, maybe to prosper, get a great education, discover California, establish a business? Maybe the entrepreneurial spirit might not be as great out here on the West Coast, but man, it is thriving across this country, and we are doing everything to deter that from coming out here onto the West Coast, I believe.
Well, we are, and we've talked about that all the time, with what's going on business-wise and everything else. When you have a healthy economy, everything else seems to fall into place very well, and it's very difficult here in California. I find it very interesting, a couple of things in the last few moments. The Assembly Speaker Toni Atkins, the number one priority for the Democrats, she believes, in this coming fiscal year is the reducing of poverty. Governor Brown hit on that, a tax credit for the poor. Restore funding for the schools and for building for schools. Now, wait a minute. We've already got taxes and things in place that we voted for. So what do you mean restore? I know money got cut off over years past. You're not going to get that, but we already have things in place. And it's interesting to hear how the Republicans answered that. Assembly Representative Leader, Republican Leader Kristen Olson, and Vice Chair Melissa Melendez said their top priorities are improving the quality of education, not pouring more money into it, but like we've been talking about a long time, improving that quality out here in California.
Well, I think taxpayers across California are going to start asking the question, well, hold on now. I mean, if we've got $3, $4 billion in reserves, you know, where was the crisis? Why are we paying more? Maybe the taxpayers need to mandate something towards Proposition 98 to our school systems, begin to budget. It's a $115 billion budget. I mean, come on. You know, if you can't educate the kids with an 80.8% graduation rate, you know, at some point we're going to have to make those reforms within Proposition 98 or mandate that the California education system, K-12, begin to work within its budget, begin to operate within its means in order to accomplish this. Because, you know, somewhere there is going to have to be a balance, and ultimately when it comes down to it, the Californian taxpayers are the ones that are going to have to pay for all this. But anyways, let's move on real quick. I'm going to get more and more into this as it is released. Obviously,
sure.
It was released. It's going to be released in a little bit here, a little bit there. The press is going to try to focus on what they are thinking are the high points. But as I read it, then, you know, that's where the devil's going to be in the details. And I will bring it to you folks up and down California from up here in northeastern California on the 503 Report. Now, let's talk about this U.S. Senate race. It looks like Loretta Sanchez, a congresswoman down in the Los Angeles area, has now announced that she's going to enter the race to challenge California State Attorney General Kamala Harris. And yes, it is on. Let's get ready to rumble. It is Womano versus Womano here, North versus South. It's going to be San Francisco versus L.A., Democrat versus Democrat. And I'm loving it because they're going to tear themselves to shreds. And it's going to be interesting to see how the dynamics go here.
I believe isn't she a 10-term in the United States legislature trying to run for that? And it's going to be, she has a lot of experience where, you know, Kamala Harris has the attorney general and the attorney for a city. So a lot of experience, but you said it right, Andrew. Boy, they are going to go at it. And Kamala Harris has already got her foot a couple times stumbled.
You know, what's crazy is, you know, it was 20 years ago when she first entered. It seemed like yesterday for me when Loretta Sanchez entered into that race and she defeated a Republican. The Republicans lost that seat 20 years ago, and she's been able to successfully hold it. And without a doubt, she's going to come to California with an incredible amount of experience. Obviously, the Latino factor is going to be, the female factor is going to be in play, and the Los Angeles versus the Bay Area is going to be in play. So you're going to see regional power versus regional power.
Do you think, Andrew, that Kamala Harris is going, uh-oh, wow. Do you think she's maybe going, wow, we got a heavyweight coming in here.
I think the Democratic Party of California, the California Democratic Party, was doing everything they could to try to squash anybody. You know, that $2 million head start that Kamala Harris has got in this race, it's just going to disappear quickly. You know, Loretta Sanchez is going to be able to raise some money, even though she is not known across this state. That's really irrelevant when the individuals in the state of California look at U.S. Senate races. And so they're going to look at the experience. Loretta Sanchez is going to be able to – she's going to be able to campaign successfully on her ability, you know, to be able to step into the U.S. Senate and just hit the ground running. She already got the coalition. She understands how Washington worked. And that's how the message is going to be. And so ultimately the Californians on the Republican side, unless they can find a Republican that can counter that message, it's going to be difficult for the Republicans to be able to put an individual legitimately in this U.S. Senate race out here in California.
And it has been for the past four or five terms on the U.S. Senate, with Boxer and Feinstein on there anyway. But to see two real heavyweights going at it for the Democratic Party, it's something we haven't seen, of course, because Feinstein and Boxer have been dug in for the last 15, 20 years or so here out in California. It's going to be really interesting. Do you think, Andrew, are they going to really, really go at it hot and heavy, as they say, really hard?
Dare I say, you know, that animal fight that happens, yes, out there all the time. Yeah, it's going to be a fight without a doubt, and I'm looking forward to watching these candidates go at it. But I have to tell you, you know, I don't like the messaging when it comes to the experience. You know, the question that California voters and the edge that maybe Kamala Harris and a Republican candidate may have is the fact that you know, the question is the experience that Loretta Sanchez has. Is the experience acceptable for the voters in California? As you guys know, man, look, I just don't necessarily think that legislative experience is a good thing as far as running for a higher office. I do like the idea on the national level, the concept of the citizen government, getting back to the citizen government rather than the experienced politician, the experienced bureaucrat, to make the fresh start, the fresh changes. That's the decisions that Californians are going to have to make, especially in this U.S. Senate race.
And it's going to be difficult because we haven't really seen or heard anybody really strongly on the Republican side coming out. Two heavyweights for the Democratic side. Andrew, I can hardly wait to hear the next few weeks as you get into, as you say, the workings of the California budget out there, the May revision out there, up again to $115 billion this year. It's going to be great to hear you with your analysis on our show.
Well, I don't know. I think I'm going to go against a lot of the experts like I do from time to time on the 503 Report. But I have to tell you, folks, you know, I'm not here to make a living as an expert. I'm here to try to provide you with as much information as you need to be provided for, because the bottom line, folks, this is your tax dollar. It's my tax dollar. And, you know, I appreciate the Californians. Californians have made a great life for me. They've been very good to me out here in California. And I have to tell you, man, I just want to do everything I can to give back. And if that means giving you the right information, that's what we're doing here on the 503 Report.
And I always look forward to that. And, folks, I hope you appreciate what we have right here. What do you got for us, Andrew?
All right, guys. Now from our favorite book. It comes from John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And, of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beat in the state, performing the duty so that you, our listener, up and down California and across this great country, can be safe.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. I want to thank Dan and Charles, our guests today. Catch them on the rebroadcast. It was great. The Spalding Eagle Lake with the craft fair coming on next weekend. Make sure you listen to that. And you can catch a rebroadcast Saturdays and Sundays right here on 1240 KSUE. 7 o'clock Saturdays right before the news and swap shop. 7:30 on Sundays before pre-programmed shows. About a half hour after the show, streaming at SierraDailyNews.com. And updated, the 503report.com, where America's voice is heard. You can catch the podcast, about 4 years' worth of shows there as well. Can't thank Dan and Charles again enough for coming in here and drawing light to what they have, and for our veterans helping out in the Nevada area. Folks, tune in tomorrow at 7:30 for a rebroadcast of that. Folks, have yourselves a great week. Until next Friday, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Hello, America. Let me thank you for your time.